Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me, for troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay. May God bless his reading to us.
They reckon that the average Brit queues for 5 hours and 35 minutes a month. That's something like 6 months in a lifetime, 6 months of one's life. Just imagine that, 6 months of your lifetime queuing up. Most of it's done in the supermarket. Often maybe it's done at a bus stop or a train station, particularly those who are blessed with Southern Rail. Some queuing happens from the Southwark Tunnel into Lancing, particularly on an afternoon from about 3:30 onwards. We know about queuing, we know about waiting. Waiting is one of those things that is part and parcel of being a human being. It's particularly challenging to wait when what we're waiting for doesn't seem to turn up. Kind of another reference to Southern Rail there. Waiting is always a challenge. Waiting when we kind of feel that nothing is going to come of our waiting is very difficult indeed. And the psalmist says that there's a great deal that he can tell us about waiting. And he begins his psalm, I waited patiently for the Lord, or I waited in my waiting. He turned to me and heard my cry. I hope I wait intensely. Prayer is so often like that. We speak to God, we bring our requests, and we wait. And it seems sometimes we're waiting for somewhere to freeze over as we wait and we wait and we wait upon God. We wait intensely upon him. We wait because of circumstances outside of our control. That's always the case in prayer, isn't it? That we pray because we're dealing with circumstances that we can't engineer. We can't manipulate them. We can't make things work. We can't fix things. So we speak to someone who can. The psalmist speaks about a pit. A place where you're feeling a little trapped. A place where there's little room for escape. You're down a pit. You don't know if you've ever slipped down into a crevice. It's kind of okay, isn't it, if you can kind of get your hands up to the top. But if it's slimy, as the psalmist describes this particular pit, sometimes you just do not have the strength or the grip to be able to get out of that hole. If it's something that is deeper than your height, it can be almost impossible, and you need someone else outside, maybe with some ropes, to get a pulley out of the pit. Circumstances out of our control. A pit, a place where we feel trapped. Maybe an illness or particular situation that we simply can't resolve. An impossible boss, an impossible situation, an impossible marriage. Maybe imprisonment. I'm praying about some of the people who have been imprisoned today. Some people imprisoned in no more than a pit. We think of Joseph, the Old Testament character, who's quite literally thrown into a pit to die by his brothers. Sometimes metaphorically, sometimes actually, people are in a pit. Sometimes a pit is kind of the experience of impending death. I'm waiting. I'm hoping intensely in the Lord. I wait patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and he heard my cry. It's great relief, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever been trapped. You've been trapped so that you're not able to get out. Maybe you're behind a locked door. Perhaps you're in a house and the handle has been taken off the door and the door is closed and you're trapped in that room and you cry out. You cry out and there's no one there in the house to hear you. You cry and you cry, and then suddenly the door comes open because someone has heard you. Someone has turned and responded to your cry. What a relief that is, to be stuck and then to be rescued. The psalmist was in that particular experience. The longer you wait for something, the more you appreciate it when you are rescued. Well, that's true, isn't it? That's true all of the time. It's worth a wait when God responds to us. The psalmist says, and I love these verses. It's the verses that spoke a great deal to me when I first became a Christian. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. It is an amazing statement of rescue. Feeling trapped, feeling desperate, and then being placed upon firm ground. Disorientated, desperate, and then stable. And he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. A new song's called for because a new experience has been had. It's great to find new words to use to express our gratitude to God. Listen to what someone said about the new song. It is true that there is no benefit of God so small that it ought not to call forth our highest praises. But the more mightily he stretches forth his hand to help us, the more does it become us to stir up ourselves to fervent zeal in this holy exercise, so that our songs may correspond to the greatness of the favor which has been conferred on us. Amazing grace, we sing, because amazing grace has been experienced. You know, when we have a new song in our hearts, we're protesting. We're protesting against self-sufficiency. We're protesting against the idea that we can sort out our own lives, that we can rescue ourselves, that we can make things better all by ourselves, that we can jump out of every emergency, we can escape from every trial. When we sing our praises, we're protesting against such self-confidence, and we're proclaiming that there's some things that only God can do. When we were without strength, Paul writes to the Romans, Christ died for the ungodly. The whole premise of our Christian faith is that we were helpless and God helped us. And when we sing our songs of praise, we are declaring, God, you are the center of all things, and God, you are the one who can do things that I cannot do, and you can bring me to places I couldn't reach on my own. Many will see and fear and put their trust in God because our new songs are proclaiming that he's the one who's to be trusted. We do not trust ourselves, we trust in him. It's a new song because there's a renewed attitude. When God works in our lives, suddenly we realize God has worked and we are in the position we're in. We're standing on the rock that we're standing on because he has worked. By the grace of God, I am what I am, Paul said. And that's what the new song says here. Now, this prayer of the psalmist is a conversation with God. Prayer is not us just listening to our own voice. It is us speaking to God. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned. No one can recount to you. Were I to speak of them, there'd be too many to declare. Then I said, here am I have come. It is spoken about, is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is written in my heart. Lord, I want to speak to you, and Lord, I want to respond to you, and I want you to respond to me. And as we respond to him, we're asking, what does he want of us? When we pray, we're not simply saying, God, this is what I want you to do. We're also saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the psalmist says, he recognizes that if God has given him much, he wants to give much in return. He wants to offer a sacrifice to him in return. But he's come to realize that the sacrifices that God particularly appreciates are not dead animals lying around, but a human being responding with an open heart and with open commitment to his God, an open ear, a willing spirit, law in the heart. You have pierced my ear. Now, we're not going to get into the debate about ear piercing, but the idea seems to be that what he said is that you've almost pinned my ear to the door in order that I might listen to you. Pin your ears back, we might say to someone. You have pinned my ear to the door that I might be a servant to your word, that I might listen to what you have to say. My ears are open. I'm hearing. My heart is open and I'm hearing. But of course, the point is that this is a response that's beyond us. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. We find it difficult to do this. We're full of inconsistency. We're full of weak will. We're full of good intentions that don't deliver. But these are words that are used by the writer of the Hebrews about Jesus. Because Jesus, his ears are always open. His spirit is always willing. His inner life is always governed by the Father's will. When we come to the living God through Jesus, we come to him through the obedience of Jesus Christ, through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When we read Psalm 40, and when I read Psalm 40, I'm constantly reminded of my failure. But when I look to Jesus Christ, I'm constantly reminded of his success, his obedience overcoming my disobedience. He was obedient for me, and he died for me, that my disobedience might be dealt with by his blood shed upon the cross. We praise with a new song because the Saviour has worked on our behalf. And we speak out our praise. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. We praise not because God needs our praise. God does not need our praise to feel good about himself, because God is good all of the time, and he knows that he's good. We sometimes need praise in order to bolster us, to affirm us. God doesn't need praise to be affirmed. It's been said that God does not need praise for God's self. God needs praise for God's mission. God needs praise in order that the mission of us declaring God might take place, so that other people overhear our praises and say, well, perhaps God is good. Well, perhaps God is worthy of praise. Perhaps God is worthy of my trust. We speak out, we proclaim the praise of God evangelistically. We declare his praises. As we saw this morning in our motto text, we are his chosen, the people formed for himself, that we might declare his praise. That's what we're intended to be, so that people might see him. We see him by faith. We experience him when he answers our prayers. And when we praise, other people hear. And other people want to know him too. We can never have enough testimonies. If God has been good to you, come and say to me, I'd like to tell the church about this. If you've got a testimony of God's grace, come and tell us. Because when you tell us, God is praised, and the people hear, and the people believe, because they hear about the things that God has done. God is good to you, so that you can share his goodness to others. You know, sometimes prayer is a roller coaster ride. Sometimes the life of prayer is a roller coaster ride. We wait and we wait and we wait. And God is at work. He brings us to the place where we receive an answered prayer, and we feel that we've kind of climbed up the hill. And then suddenly our breakfast is challenged as we plunge down the other side and we reach the bottom again. And then jerk round again. And the psalmist captures this here in this psalm. When he says there in verse 21, do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me. I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. I've got a new song in my mouth, even praises to our God. I've been brought from the slimy pit and I'm standing on the rock. Everything feels good and I'm praising God. And then suddenly the roller coaster vooms down into another zone of difficulty. We pray and we keep praying because God gets us out of fixes, but we find that in life we get into fixes again and again and again. I only pray when I'm in trouble, but I'm always in trouble. It's a roller coaster ride. And prayer is living in a world with a domino effect that one hazard falls and it causes another hazard to fall. There's something else lurking round the corner. We pull out of one tight turn and we find another tight turn coming. Someone said, you know, you only need to live long enough and you'll encounter difficulty and illness and bereavement, sorrow, death, your own death. Just like a domino effect, one after the other. Puts a dose of realism into our prayer life and reminds us that praying is about trusting God. It's really difficult, isn't it, sometimes, you know, when things have gone well and God has seemingly answered our prayers, to suddenly find that we hit a bad patch again. Very challenging. Challenges our trust. It's sometimes easier to trust God when things are going well, more difficult when things are hard. And when maybe people around us, as the psalmist says towards the end of this psalm, are saying, hey, yes, you're a believer, but it's all going wrong, and rejoicing in your suffering. So we come back to waiting. That last verse of the psalm, yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O God, do not delay. We can never say, can we? We're okay. Everything's fine. We don't need God. We've kind of got to a stage where we're all right. None of us are really all right. All of us are poor and needy. All of us are just an inch away from a life that's unraveled. I am poor and needy. You are my deliverer. Someone has paraphrased this last line of the psalm. You are my help and my deliverer, O God, do not delay. My God, don't be slow. Of course, sometimes when we're praying, it feels as though everything goes into slow motion. Seems that everything is just taking a long, long time. My God, don't be slow. Waiting. Sometimes prayer is waiting. Sometimes prayer feels like waiting for the paint to dry, waiting for a kettle to boil, waiting. But the great thing is that we're waiting for something that's coming. We're not like those waiting for a Southern Rail train that's not coming, that's been cancelled. We're waiting for a God who will always come. We're poor and needy, but he is our deliverer. Amen.